Welcome to the Journey Church podcast. Whether you've never stepped foot in a church before, or you wanted to hear Sunday sermon one more time, thank you for listening. It's our prayer that you find this message encouraging and that it helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus. Let's get into it.
And we're going to open up God's Word. We're going to go to the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, and we're going to go to chapter number 23. Even if you haven't been in church, you probably heard Psalms chapter 23. If you haven't been here the last few weeks, we started a journey, and I said, let me challenge you with a couple things. One, I'm going to challenge you with memorizing Psalms chapter 23. It's just six verses. Somebody asked me what version I've been reading. This is the NIV. Some of you are very holy. You know the King James Version, and you know, you walketh through the valley of the shadow of death, and you will fear no evil. That's too much for me. And so... But if you know it in that's fine. Say it in whatever version you've been memorizing it, right? But we're going to say it together out loud. We're going to put it on the screen. Read it with us. I'm going to read it with you. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so if you haven't been here, we've gone through the first four verses. We've explained to you the shepherd. I talked to you about God's shoulders, how powerful they are. We talked about why God allows us to go through valleys. There's things you can only learn and experience in the valleys. And today... we're going to take on my favorite verse in this whole passage. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. How many of y'all have enemies? A couple, I figure, with this service. How many of you don't do well with enemies? Like, you just don't. Like, you're a fighter. Anybody a fighter in here? Like, when Jesus is like, turn the other cheek, you're like, theirs or mine? What are we talking about, right? Because I will, right? I'll give you an example. Like, I'm by nature a fighter. Like, I don't like to lose. I like to win. I like to fight. I don't like to be wrong. I've only apologized to my wife 3 times in 23 years of marriage. And that's only because I got convicted. I wouldn't even done it if the Holy Spirit wouldn't. I hate to be wrong. This Friday night, we were at a football game, and we were walking, just walking to our seats. We sit in the same seats every week, and we're just walking, and there was an older couple walking kind of with us, but they weren't walking because they were staring at the field. We were walking to our seats, and my wife kind of, they were standing, but walking, but standing, you know what I'm talking about, and so my wife kind of scooched around him and started walking, but as she scooched around him, he turned and started walking at the same time, to which my wife was like, oh, sorry about that, and she turned and was like, sorry about that, like, he's gonna go, and he goes like this, he goes, move. He was about this tall, tan, old. My wife could have taken him. And he says that to my wife. I'm right behind him, and there's a bunch of people. And my wife has repeatedly reminded me we're pastors in this town. Works. And I wanted to do something. And then what was funny, we got up to our seat, and then he was sitting like 3 rows down, and it was just like he was looking up, we were looking down, and it didn't go anywhere from there. And so, but it was definitely like that, you know what I'm talking about? Like, you have somebody that feels like they're trying to take something from you. You want to fight. And so this passage today is going to deal with that. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I was trying to think of a story from history to... explain this passage, what David is talking about. And so I immediately thought of this guy. You guys know who this is? Everybody know who this is? Wow, this is Jackie Robinson. Some of you only saw the movie. This is the real guy. And so, right? That's not. And so this is Jackie Robinson. Jackie Robinson was the first African-American baseball player in the major leagues. In 1947, after over 60 years of baseball existing, he was finally allowed to play. They just were going to allow the best players to play in the league. And so he broke into the major leagues. I thought he was the first player, but what was interesting, I looked it up. Actually, the very first African-American baseball player was Moses Fleetwood Walker. He played in 1884. He played for, you guys remember your favorite teams? The Toledo Blue Stockings. You guys remember that team? He was a catcher. He was awesome, they said. But the owners got together. It was too much problem with their fans, too much money involved. And that's when they decided, we're going to keep races separate. We're going to have different leagues. And they created the Negro League. And Jackie Robinson played in that league for some time. And then the owner, manager of the Brooklyn Dodgers was like, we're going to fix this. And he brought Jackie Robinson onto the Dodgers. And I don't know if you've ever seen the movie, but you remember the movie has this conversation because Jackie Robinson came to the Dodgers and it wasn't easy. It was like awful for him. He would get cursed at and made fun of from the stands. Sports writers would lie about him. Pitchers would throw the ball at his head. Opposing players would slide into him with spikes. His own teammates refused to be in the same locker room as him. He would go on the road and restaurants would refuse him service. He would go to hotels and hotels would refuse him service. You know, sometimes they're like, the world is getting worse. I'm like, which part? And the owner just asked him, he said, listen, I know this is awful. He said, I'm looking for a guy that's strong enough to not fight back, to let his play do the talking. Remember that in the movie. So he started playing. And what was interesting, he was always surrounded by enemies. They were always there. God didn't take him away. The cursing, the mocking, the sports writers, the hotels, the restaurants, the teammates. It was pretty awful for him. And what was interesting is his first year that he played, in spite of all that, he won Rookie of the Year. Within a few years, he was the most valuable player of his league. In 1955, a few years after he started, he led the Dodgers to their first ever World Series championship. By the time he was done, the same stadiums that were cursing him were now cheering him. Some years later, Major League Baseball retired his number, 42. They wear it one time a year to commemorate the type of player that he was. And what was interesting is his enemies never vanished, but I love it because they had to have a front row seat to watch him get honored. So I titled today's message, Watching You Eat. Watching You Eat. You know what I'm talking about? Like, there wasn't a time in David's life, he's a writer of this if you didn't know, where he didn't have somebody trying to take something from him. From the moment that he slung that rock, his life was awful. And this is why this is so important. Some of you are early to your faith and you began to follow the Lord and you thought everybody was gonna be cheering you on. And what you found as a young person, as a middle-aged person, as an older person, as whatever you are, you started following the Lord and not everybody's happy for you. You started following the Lord and it seems like people are coming out of the woodwork criticizing you. You stepped out for the Lord. You did something that some people would deem as crazy, and they're not even deeming it. They're letting everybody else know how crazy you are. Oh, they think there's something now because they're starting to follow God, and you're shocked. You're just trying to follow God. I'm just trying to kill this giant and help all these people, and now the king hates me. And for the rest of his life, he had enemies. He had the Philistines. His own wife hated him at one point. His sons hated him at some point. Like, everywhere he went, he had enemies that were surrounding him. So when he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, he's admitting to us, I always have enemies, but I also have a shepherd that is reminding me of what earthly shepherds do. See, he's actually referring to earthly shepherds. They would, in early summer, they would take their sheep to the flat part of a hill, top of a mountain. They called that the tablelands. And as they led their sheep up to the top of this mountain, before they let the sheep get into the mountain, they would go in and take care of all the enemies because sheep can't protect themselves. They would go in and they would look around and they would unearth all the poisonous plants because sheep are just gonna eat anything. It sounds like us. And unearth all the plants so that the sheep didn't eat stuff that would kill them. They would go to the viper holes, like the snake holes, and they would surround the viper holes with oil to keep the vipers in the hole so that they didn't slither out and bite the heel of the sheep and kill the sheep. They would search around and look for tracks, find lion tracks, figure out where the lions were hiding and coming from, and make sure they could protect their lion. They would look around and make sure bandits and thieves couldn't get in to try to steal their sheep. They would figure out the surroundings so that the sheep could come up into the tablelands and eat in peace, noticing that the enemy was never gone, but the enemy had to have a front row seat to watching the sheep be protected by their shepherd. And this is what's going on for him, and this is what he's trying to explain to us. See, I have found out in my own life that I don't do well with enemies. I don't get them. Like, for me, I'm the main character in the story. Just take care of them. But it doesn't matter who you are, you're gonna go through this. So what I wanna do is I wanna explain to you why enemies exist. Why do you have enemies, right? So here's number one. This might be low-hanging fruit for you. But the first reason that you have enemies is enemies indicate you're human. Enemies indicate you're human. Let me give you examples. If I walk through the forest and I rub up against a poison ivy plant, what do I get? I get a rash. And poison ivy doesn't come with you. That's weird. And so, but I get a rash. Listen, if I go hang out in Oklahoma for more than 1 week, my talking changes. Like here, I'll say, you guys, right? I've been around Pittsburgh people and they say yins. You know what I'm talking about? If I go to Oklahoma and I spend more than 2 weeks there, without even knowing it, I'll start to say, y'all, how y'all doing? How y'all feel about the Eagles today? How y'all doing, right? If I hang out with my teenage boys too much, you know what I'm talking about? And I talk to them too much, I'll start saying things like, bruh, right? That's cooked, right? You're chopped. You know what I'm talking about? I'm like, what is that? What are we talking about? Vegetable? What are we talking about? Right? Like, that means you're ugly. You're messed up. Your hair, you shouldn't have paid for that, right? That's chopped. I don't even try. Like, has anybody else caught yourself saying, bruh? Like, I literally wanted to discipline them for months. The first time they were like, bruh. And now my wife would be talking to me and I'll be like, bruh, right? Like, right? It's not even trying it. And so, like, here's the thing. You don't have to try to have enemies. Like, you don't have to try. Like, you were born on this planet, and because you're a human, you're gonna have enemies. And this is what he's trying to tell us. Sheep, they weren't like, you know what we want enemies, right? Sheep had enemies because they were sheep. They were low-hanging fruit. Animals wanted to eat them. You know, bugs wanted to fly into their heads and mess their brains up. They had enemies because they were low-hanging fruit. For sheep, enemies weren't optional. They were inevitable. And I just want to encourage you in your life. Opposition isn't optional. It's confirmation that you are a human. Enemies will always be around you. And let me just, some of you are like, how do you know that? The Bible. There's not one person in the Bible that's doing anything for God where everybody's like, we love that guy. If they all were loved, they wouldn't have got martyred. Like, that's a hot word right now, right? Like, the dudes in the Bible, they weren't like, we're gonna get rid of these guys because we love them. Everybody was mad at them. Paul, Peter, John, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. I'll just go through the whole Bible, right? Like, everybody had enemies. Let me just give you somebody else who had enemies. Can I just tell you one more guy? Jesus. Jesus is perfect. Jesus says the right thing with the right tone, with the right motives. Doesn't even lie out here. He doesn't smile behind your back. He actually likes you in his heart. He literally did nothing wrong, and people still hated him enough to put him on a cross. Like, just because you're like, No, listen. You're gonna have enemies because you are a human. And so I just wanna read some, can I read some Bible verses to you? You guys, like, we like the Bible here, right? I'm gonna read you, like, so you know how Christians like to put Bible verses on stuff and wear it, but it's always like the PG Bible verses? Like, I'm gonna start making shirts like this. Watch this. Jesus, Luke 6 says, blessed are you when people, what does that word say? Hate. What? Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject you. Your name is evil because of the Son of Man. That means when you're, some of you are like, I'm just gonna be about love and people. I'm just gonna love people and all stuff. That's what Jesus did. They killed him. Because you know how people are. Like, people don't like me. You need to be more loving. They're going to kill you. Like, you can't be more loving than Jesus. And Jesus is like, blessed are you when people hate you, which is weird because some of us, as soon as somebody unfriends us on social media, we freak out. We're not like, it's a blessing, they don't like me anymore, right? We freak out. Jesus says it again, Matthew 10. You will be, what does that say? Now, here, watch how exciting this is. By everyone. What? You'll be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. By the way, he's describing the end of the world. He's coming back. He's like, it's going to get really bad. You're going to end up being hated by everyone. Watch 2 Timothy. These aren't the words of Jesus, but Paul says it. He says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That means if you're a Christian, if you're a pastor, if you're a teacher, if you're a coach, if you're a business owner, if you're an athlete, if you're a mom, if you're a dad, if you're a grandparent, if you're alive, you will face opposition from enemies. Enemies are not always a reflection of you. They are just a reflection that you are human. And the problem is the opposite of being understanding this. When you don't understand this, you become a deep, insecure people pleaser. And we have a hard time being a people pleaser. I'll be like, you're a people pleaser. God, no, I'm not. So can I give you a test? Can you want to find yourself in here? I like doing this every once in a while. Here's how you know. Here's why it's so important. Paul says, you can't please both God and man. It's impossible. And so if you don't understand, you're always going to have enemies. You're going to be up late at night, freaked out, trying to keep everybody happy, worried about what you said. You didn't say nothing. You were born. Like, sometimes people don't like you because of your face, right or wrong. They don't like you because your confidence. They don't like you because you don't get your underoos in a bunch all the time. Like, you're not freaking out all the time. You don't play the game. You're not trying to sit in the front and get everybody to see you. You just sit in the back. They think you're weird, but it's really just quiet confidence. And so let me give you a couple thoughts. Number one, here's a test. Take it. You avoid hard conversations. There's one. You stay silent when you should speak up. There's two. You say yes when you should say no. You change who you are depending on who you're with. You lose sleep over what others think about you. You feel crushed by criticism. You equate being liked with being right. Our world needs to hear that. If people like me, it means I'm good. What? Like, go back to Jesus. You don't kill a dude that you like. Like, that is not, he came to seek and save the lost, to die for the sins of the world, right? He wasn't looking to be popular. He was looking to save people. So you need to remind yourself, I have enemies because I'm human. I'm normal. Number two, this one's important. Second thing is, this one, I'm going to be more encouraging with this one. Enemies validate your value. This one's important. Enemies validate your value. So sheep have enemies. Why do you think they have enemies? You think any animal's trying to eat a sheep if they taste like garbage? Yes or no? Come on, tell me. Right? Like, animals are not hunting down sheep for, they want to eat them because they taste good. You think anybody wants to steal a sheep if they're not valuable? They got fur. Like, it's a way of making money. So they have enemies out there, and the enemies are validating that they are valuable animals. And I want to encourage you. Some of you have enemies. Like, why don't you have enemies? This is God telling you, you have value. Like, there's something significant and important about you. That's why Satan sees you as a threat, and he's using so-and-so and this person to come into your life. Even though we don't fight against flesh and blood, Satan uses flesh and blood in our life. So some of you need to understand, when you see that, it is just confirmation that you are on the correct path that God has called you to be. Because oftentimes when it comes to this, we think, oh no, what am I doing wrong right now that I have enemies? Let me give you an example. Let's say I have two bags. One bag is filled with my stinky gym socks, right? Another bag is my wife's pocketbook, purse. One bag you open up, socks. One bag you open up, what does a woman's purse have in it? Everything. Everything. Everything cool goes in your mom's purse. You remember that? Wallets and pens and candy and Stanley cups and sunglasses and another pair of sunglasses, right? In case you lose your sunglasses. And all this other stuff, right? And I leave them both on the ground, all both on the ground. Which one of those bags is going to be stolen more than likely? Somebody's gonna come up, open up the socks, and be like, I'm gonna let Steve, get back and get those. But they're going to see, right? Nobody has ever called me. No bank has ever called me and been like, Steve, we've noticed some weird stuff going on in your sock drawer. It's like somebody's trying to steal your sock identity, right? But people literally once, how many of you once a month, it'll be like, hey, there's some fishy stuff on your credit card, and from like they're trying to steal your identity. Because there's value there. I'll give you some more examples. Sports. Let me just, if your kid plays sports and the other team's like, just let them go. Right? Is that an indicator that your kid is good or bad? If the other team is not paying attention to your kid out there, it's because your kid is not good. Right or wrong? But if you play football or basketball and the other coach is swinging over double coverage on that, that is an indication that you are a valuable asset and they are threatened by you. Right? Maybe you're a business owner. I've noticed this about business owners. You can start a business in a place, and let's say you start a restaurant in Phoenixville. There's restaurants everywhere in Phoenixville. Iron Hill closed down unexpectedly. You move in, you put, you know, the best restaurant in Phoenixville. All these other restaurants are here. They've been established here. And your restaurant starts getting all sorts of publicity and gets really popular, and people are coming there. You're not even open on Sunday. You're Chick-fil-A in that thing. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you're literally that popular, right? But all the other restaurants start talking bad about you. I heard in their chicken sandwich they got cockroaches. And you're like, why are people talking bad about me? Because there's value there. I remember years ago I was in Oklahoma, and Oklahoma has more churches than people. It's true. Like, there's literally a church on every corner. I had a church, my first church, there was a church on my over there, right next to me on the same corner, and then right across the street from us, right? And churches everywhere. And when I was there, churches were pretty much par for the course. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday school, potluck, VBS, Royal Rangers, Missionettes. Nobody wanted to go to any of it. And so Life Church started in my town. Life Church is the originators of the Bible app. You have the Bible app because of them. And they literally changed the course of history for my life. I didn't know you could do church where people that didn't go to church wanted to be there. And so they started growing. Who do you think the number one critic was in the town? You think it was the lost people being like, we don't know about this church over here. They just care too much about lost people. It was the churches. They were like, they're watering it down. They're making it too simple. They're just about evangelism. What about disciple? You know what I'm talking about? What about discipleship? Meanwhile, I looked at your calendar at my church. The number one moment of discipleship was a chili cook-off. We have a chili cook-off. We're going to judge it on a Sunday night. Let's do that, right? I give a 7.5 to this thing. Meanwhile, Life Church is existing for the lost, and my church is existing for the sauce. You know what I'm talking about? wasn't God criticizing them or lost people. It was the church. Why? Because, listen, Satan could see. They were a few thousand people, but Satan could see this is going to be probably the most influential church in modern history. And so we're going to send them enemies to attack them because it was validating the value of Life Church. Like, if you have enemies, and if you have no enemies, nobody criticizing you, nobody putting you down, nobody lying about you, nobody talking about you, it's because you're not doing nothing. It's because you're just playing it safe in a corner somewhere. I don't want to event. But as soon as you step out into the plans of God, as soon as you take a rock out of your sling and you decide to kill a 9-foot giant and chop his head off, for the rest of your life, you're gonna have people going, I don't know if you should have done that like that. I would have killed him, but I don't know if I would have done all the chopping of the head off over there. That was a little arrogant of David. The Bible also says David takes his armor off him and takes it back and puts it in his tent. I think he's gonna make a trophy out of it. I don't like how confident he is. The rest of your life, it is just validating the value that you have. Enemies don't expose your weakness. They reveal your worth, right? No one wastes time or energy attacking something that doesn't matter in life. Let me give you another Bible verse. John 15 says, if the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first. He is obsessed with that word hate. If other people hate you, keep in mind it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it will love you as its own. As it is, you don't belong to the world. I chose you out of the world. This is why the world hates you. You see, criticism doesn't mean you're off track. Sometimes it's confirmation you're on the right one. Let me give you one more thought. So what do you do? You're going to have enemies. Enemies going to validate your value. Once you find them, you punch them. That'd be awesome. I wish that was it. Maybe you don't punch them. Maybe you just post about them. Maybe you just let them know passive aggressively. Maybe you let air out of their tire. Maybe you make a story up about them. Maybe you tell a true story about them. What do you do with your enemies? If they're there for a reason, you're all gonna have them, I'm gonna have them. If they are validation of your value, what do you do? Here's number three. Enemies present a great test for us. If I could replace the word test, you should write this down. Enemies present a great opportunity for us. I like that word. You ever start saying stuff about yourself and then God tests you to see if you're actually like that and then you don't pass it and you're like, oh no. Like, maybe you've never said this, but you'll be like, I'm so humble. You don't say it out loud, but you think it. I'm so humble. Then you have an idea at work, like this great idea from maybe from God, you know, whatever, and you give this idea to work and they take it and they make all sorts of money and profit, but they don't give you credit. Everybody just runs with it and you're like mad about it. You ain't humble. Because that's the test. Okay, I'm humble. Here's the idea. I don't need it, right? My blessings come from above, not from you. You ever been like, I'm so glad I'm so generous. I'm such a generous person. Then you buy something for somebody, they don't say thank you, and you're like, take it back. You ain't generous? Hey, how about this one? I am so forgiving. Well, how about your mom? Still working on that. Well, she's the opportunity. How about that kid at school that said that about you? How about this? Like, I'm so forgiving. Yeah, but I'm not gonna forgive that person. So, like, enemies are a great opportunity for us, a great test for us to pass. And so let me just explain this to you. I started thinking about this. If the sheep are surrounded by their enemies, they show up, and a sheep tries to fight their enemies. Like, they show up, they're like, ah, and sheep are like, meh. And the lion's like, ooh, with his claws, and the sheep's like, meh, right? Okay. What happens to the sheep? Tell me, please. The sheep gonna get eaten. You might bat till you're blue in the face, but you're gonna bat till you're dead, right? Like, you are gonna die. If you fight that battle, you die. Let me tell you what else happens. Sometimes sheep, when they have the shepherd, they get skeeved out and they run. I don't know if you've ever seen a sheep run, but they're not that fast. If a sheep runs, what happens? They get stolen. So the greatest test for a sheep is you see the enemies all around you, and instead of running and defending yourself, David says, you create a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you get me to the point where I can sit. Because you know, like, if you think about a table, and you go to a restaurant, and you're like, I'll take a table for four, and they give you a table with no chairs, you'll be like, this, I'm never coming here again, right? Because when you sit, it's a vulnerable position. When you sit on a chair, you might not even think about this, but when you sit on a chair, it's a decision of trust. You are trusting right now that chair is gonna hold you, because it would be hilarious if right now, boom, right? Like, yeah, that's faith. And so the table is not necessarily just a place to eat. A table is a decision. Am I gonna trust the Lord more than I fear my enemies? And when you sit, you can't fight. And when you sit, you can't run. And if you run and you fight, you die. And so instead, I'm gonna teach you. Can I teach you a different way? I think our world needs a different way. I think we need a different way of fighting. What do you think? One of you. Okay, that's good. I think we're crazy. I think the world needs to see a church that is unified under a desire to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right? And so let me show you how to respond. Something has never led me astray. In 23 years of being married, over 20 years of being a pastor, has never once led me astray. Because I can tell you, I've wanted to do the opposite, but I'm glad that I've had these Bible verses. Watch what the Bible says in 1 Peter 2. It says about Jesus, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not, what's that word say? What does that mean? Bro, he could have been on the cross and been like, right? Hold my crown of thorns. Come, you know what I'm talking about? Like, wouldn't that be awesome if that was in the Bible? And he was like, pop, 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 right? But like, I wish that was in the plays. That'd be incredible, right? But the Bible says he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he did not make any threats, right? Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. So I want to give you a different way. First thing you're going to do, you're not going to react. You know what I'm talking about? Let me give you a way we react. We see something, we repost it, repost something. I think the whole world would be better if everybody in this room just never posted anything online ever again. Could you imagine if we just were like, you know what, we're just going to live in Phoenixville and Upper Marion and Springford and Boyertown and all these places, and we're just gonna Perk Valley, Methacton, Owen Jade, I cover everybody, Exton, wherever you came from, Philadelphia, born and raised, right, whatever it is, right? And so, and we were just like, we're just gonna live where we're at, and we're gonna make it our goal to live a quiet life that affects actual people. You know what I'm talking about? Like, instead of making it a goal to be loud online, nobody cares. You know how many people got loud online this week? Let me ask you, how many of you got loud online, yet you came here with no one to church today? Like, you just here again. All that big vocal thing you're doing, ain't nobody here with you today. You know why? You need to get out of the non-reality and get into the real world. And so instead of reposting and, man, I gotta attack this person, you're just like, I'm cool, man. I'm entrusting myself to the one who judges justly. I'm not gonna let my emotions get in the way. I'm not gonna let you take something from me. I'm not gonna let you get in the way of what God has for my life. You can't stop God's plan for me. All right, let me give you another one. That one wasn't that popular. All right, number two, don't retaliate, right? Watch this. Romans 12 says, don't take revenge. Do not take revenge. Leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. In other words, you can fight your battles or you can let him fight your battles. And you're very limited. So I'm not gonna react, I'm not gonna retaliate, and the third thing I'm not gonna do is I'm not gonna resent. Some of you don't understand the power of unforgiveness in your life. Some of you think you would forgive somebody if they would ask for forgiveness, but until they ask for forgiveness, you're never gonna forgive them, not understanding that you are in the prison, not them. In fact, let me show you something real fast. Everybody take your arm, put it like this. Just take your arm out. Now put it in front of your mouth. Get closer, come on, I can see you. I see some of you not doing it. You're like, what's he gonna ask me to do? Just listen to me for a second. Get your arm. Now open your mouth up. Open your mouth up. Now just bite yourself. One of you did it. And so, ushers, we have money for them. And so, why didn't you do that? Because it's dumb. It's dumb. You're like, this is the dumbest thing ever. No, the dumbest thing ever is holding on to bitterness and unforgiveness and expecting it to hurt the other person. It's as dumb as you biting yourself and thinking of them and going, I hope they feel this. No, it's for you. Forgiveness is, you're like, I don't want to forgive them. That's not for them. Forgiveness is for you. It says, you know what? I'm not going to make what they did to me bigger than what Jesus did for me on the cross. And so I'm not going to retaliate. I'm not going to resent. I'm not going to react. I'm just going to entrust myself. I wrote it like this. If you react, you lose peace. If you retaliate, you lose protection. If you resent, you lose perspective. But if you just sit at the table, you win because your shepherd never loses. Why you got enemies? Because you're human. The next time you got enemies, instead of getting mad, be like, I must be doing something right. God must have a plan for my life. The devil must see me as a threat. It's validating my value. Instead of attacking back, I'm gonna entrust myself to the one who judges justly. I'm gonna pass the test. I'm not gonna freak out. No man can stop God's plan for my life except for me. You tracking with me? And so here's what I wanna do. I want you to stand to your feet. We got 10 minutes. We can really dig into God's presence right now. Oh, bow your heads and close your eyes. And I want you to ask the Spirit of God to deal with you right now. Deal with you. Some of you struggle in this area immensely. You just do. Like, it's just a hard area. And I don't know that it's a very uncommon area to struggle with. I think it's very common to want to fight your own battles. I think it's very common to want to prove somebody wrong that's lying about you. I think it's very common. But what I think is miraculous is when you don't fight back, and the shepherd creates a table, and your enemies have to watch you eat. They have to watch you succeed, not because of your strength, but because you trusted the shepherd. They gotta watch as their plans, they tried to ruin, with their plans, they tried to ruin God's plan. But God is bigger, God is better, God is sovereign, God is all-knowing, he's all-powerful, he's everywhere. No man can get in the way of God. In fact, they said it in the book of Acts, the religious leaders, they said, if God is for it, who can be against it? And we know you're for us, God, and so we trust you. Lord, I pray right now that you would do something in somebody's spirit today, that you would help them. And they are a fighter at their core, and they react, and they retaliate, and they resent. And Lord, it's actually to the detriment of who they are and what you've created them to be. So I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would begin a work that only you could do. That you would rearrange the way that they think and see their heart, what they're struggling with. That you would allow them to lay down bitterness and resentment, understanding that it's imprisoning their own life, that they would feel freedom, the freedom that can only come from you. Lord, they would live not in response to what's been said and done to them, but they would live in response to what you did for them on that cross. That they would find value not in what people think about them or what people say about them, but they would find value in the understanding of what you were willing to lay down to get to them. So Lord, would you move? Spirit of God, would you move? As you're praying all over this place, maybe you're in this room and you struggle immensely with unforgiveness and bitterness. The good news is that's a foundational core belief of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says no weapon that was forged against you is gonna prosper with Jesus. And he created you to become more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus our Lord. There's one scripture that says you were created to be the head, not the tail. Visualize that. Tails are led. Everything people said about you, did to you, it's kind of leading your life. Instead with Jesus, you get situated on a solid foundation. Your life becomes found in him. You become a child of him. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom in him. And so maybe you struggle with unforgiveness. And maybe even as I say it, something in your spirit gets angry because you're like, you don't know what they did to me. I don't, you're right. I truly believe there's people in here, you've been through hell on earth. You've struggled. You've been lied about. You've been abandoned. You have every reason to be angry and bitter. But I would also argue that's exactly where Satan wants you to be. He wants you to be bitter, angry, resentful. He even wants you to be angry with God. And the Bible says in the midst of your sin and the sin that's been committed against you, that Jesus stepped from eternity into temporary. And the Bible says while you were a sinner, while sin was being committed against you, that Jesus was dying on a cross. That he was paying the price of sin. And that it's through him that humans, you and me, we can have freedom. It's not religion, it's a relationship. That we get to experience the grace of God. And here's the cool thing. When you experience the grace of God, you're able to then give the grace. When you experience forgiveness, you're able to give forgiveness. When you experience life, you're able to let go of things that felt like death in you. And he's here right now, friend. And the Bible says like this. He says, here I am. I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. Would you let me in? That's all he wants from you today. He wants a relationship with you. He's long to have that relationship. And I believe he set this moment up in time to meet you so you would hear his word and ultimately save your life. Give you freedom, give you forgiveness, fill you with love, give you mercy, and give you grace. Come on, if that's you, you're like, man, I need that. I need that. I can feel the Lord. He's drawing me to himself. I don't even understand it. But I can feel something happening in my life right now. And I know God's real, and I know I need a Savior. I know I need Jesus. I've tried to do life on my own, and I can't. Jesus, would you meet me here in this moment? I want to pray with you as we close before we dismiss you. I need Jesus Christ. I'm not going to call you forward. Nobody's looking around. Promise you, they got their own stuff they're dealing with. But I need Jesus Christ right now. I need him to meet me in this moment. I want to lead you in a simple prayer. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm here. Come on, if that's you all over this house, would you just begin to shoot your hand towards heaven? I need Jesus Christ right now. I need Jesus Christ. I see hands over here. Yes. I see hands. I see hand. Yeah. Hand. Yes. Yes. Hands. I need Jesus. I see another hand over here. Would you keep clapping, church? Would you meet me here? Now I want you to pray something. You heard the word of God. Now I want you to pray a prayer in response to the word of God. Say something like this out loud. Say, Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner and I need a savior. So thank you for dying on a cross for my sins. And thank you, Jesus, that because you rose in power, that today, by faith, I'm a brand new person. I trust you, and I'm gonna follow you from this day forward. In Jesus' name we pray, all over this house. Would you shout amen?
Thank you again for checking out our podcast. If you made the decision to give your life to Jesus today, we encourage you to visit our website. You can visit us at jrny.church to find resources, ask questions, and get more information on what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Don't forget to subscribe and share this podcast with a friend. Have a great rest of your week.